Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Welcome to Sportsman of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Whatley. Trevin Stolfus is in with me today. Going to be doing some segments with me a little bit later in the show, but I asked Trevin to join me this morning and this afternoon, actually, and talk about some things. And Trevin's been on some great hunts, so we're going to be talking with him about his outdoor experiences here of late, as well as Outback Outdoors, which you can catch that on the Sportsman's Channel. But first of all, we're going to go to the phone. So, Trevin, welcome, first of all.
Well, thanks. I'm always, always happy to be here.
Man, always good to see you. But first of all, we're going to go to the phones and got Denny Behrens back with us. And Denny is with the group. BigGameForever.org is the website. And we're going to be talking about some other exciting news. So, Denny, thanks for being with us on Sportsman of Colorado.
You bet. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, you know, we had you on once before, but wanted to get you back on again and talk a little bit about your organization. But then something that we really want to get the word out and get everyone involved in, if they're involved in the outdoors, and a group that's, I believe the right term is Colorado Sportsmen for Trump. So we'll get into that in a minute. But first of all, tell us a little bit about Big Game Forever.
Well, Big Game Forever is a national hunting organization. We're actually an advocacy group for sportsmen across the nation, and we basically are working on issues right now concerning sage-grouse, which is huge for the western states, and also for the wolf issue, the delisting of the wolf. And so those are the two key issues that we're working on right now, not only in D.C., in Washington, with Congress, but hang on, let me get rid of that phone.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. Things get a little crazy. But anyway, back in D.C., we're working on the sage-grouse issue right now, and we think we've got that tied in to the National Defense Authorization Act, so we're looking forward to that coming out. And then also on the wolf delisting. And for your listeners, if they don't know that Colorado Parks and Wildlife actually came out with a statement about a month ago saying, yes, we do have wolves in northern Colorado, northwest Colorado, and they're asking hunters to beware, make sure you're, you know, if you're going to think you're shooting a coyote, make sure you're shooting a coyote instead of that wolf.
Right.
So it's very critical right now. So, but hunting seasons are on. You guys know that. First rifle season opens the 15th, and, you know, sportsmen and sportswomen across the state are gearing up for that, and so it looks like we're going to have a great season.
Sure. Again, our guest is Denny Behrens, Big Game Forever, biggameforever.org, and he's the regional director here in Colorado. So if people want to become involved, and I mean, I know you guys have meetings and all that kind of thing. Is that something you're looking for, where people can get involved and maybe attend some of your meetings and all that?
You bet. Probably after this election cycle, because things are pretty busy for everybody right now. But we'll be coming over on the Front Range, hosting some more meetings so that people can truly understand what the issues are that are affecting sportsmen in the state. And so those, we'll probably be posting them. They can actually go to Big Game Forever Colorado Facebook page right now, and they can, you know, catch up on all the things that are happening right now with wolves and sage-grouse and how it affects things here in Colorado.
Hey, Denny, this is Trevin. A quick question regarding the wolves. There's a lot of people that that are on both sides of this fence, if you will. In a situation where you have a young individual who's being taught in the classroom that wolves are cuddly, that wolves are that they need to be brought back. Again, they're coming from perhaps more of a liberal point of view. How do you respond to a young individual who's indoctrinated in that way? What are some facts that we can give them to truly educate them about what wolves can do in, say, Yellowstone, for example?
Okay. First of all, let me make the statement that, you know, we don't hate wolves. It's one of God's creatures, and it's here. And, you know, bringing it back, whether it's in Yellowstone, you know, affecting Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, those kind of areas, we understand that maybe it has a place in certain areas of the lower 48. And it certainly is, you know, growing in populations in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan. And so those areas, the populations are booming. But when you're talking to young people, you need to tell them that wolves, like any other predator, whether it's bears or lions or coyotes, all need to be managed because they'll end up affecting our ungulate populations like they have in Montana and Idaho, and especially with the moose population up there right now. One of the major facts is that Cyrus moose populations are only indigenous to the Rocky Mountain states. And currently, in Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming, those populations have dropped almost 90% due to the wolf impact.
Right.
Now, the only place they're flourishing is in Colorado and Utah. And so we're trying to make sure that young people understand and a lot of the general public, that all they hear is the other side of the fence, that wolves need to be managed. And so that's our position. That's what taking them off the endangered species list does. It gives the states the ability to manage the wolf just like any other predator. And that is sound science. That's sound wildlife management.
And I think you hit the nail on the head that we're not against wolves. I think people forget that, but we're for the management. You know, the wolf is an amazing predator, perhaps more. I mean, because they work in packs, and just if you look at the way a wolf kills, it's effective. They have to be managed. They have to be managed. So, yeah, okay. Well, that's good stuff. Good stuff.
Bet. And we're looking forward to being able to go out and our public education for 4 months here on Western Colorado. We've had radio ads talking to the public about managing wolves and some of the effects of wolves coming into the state. One of them has to deal with, you know, wolves carry disease, a hydactic disease, and people don't know what that disease is and how it affects not only wildlife, but it also affects humans. And so we have on our national web page, biggameforever.org, there's actually places you can go and read up on that stuff. And so when people talk about, oh, we want 1,000 wolves brought into Colorado, and we want, you know, hundreds of wolves put into Rocky Mountain National Park, you look at that and say, okay, do you know what the consequences of bringing that wolf in? You need to know the entire story about a wolf. You need to know the truth. And if you're willing to accept that, that's one thing. But if you're not willing to accept it, how are we going to manage so that it doesn't impact not only wildlife populations to the point where it brings them down to population levels that we end up in a predator pit where the animal is actually being destroyed, like the Cyrus moose, or we end up actually affecting human populations with another particular disease that is actually fatal to humans. So those are some of the things that we're out there doing.
Our guest is Denny Behrens. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, along with Trevin Stolfus, host of Outback Outdoors on the Sportsman's Channel. Kevin Flesh is also with us. Our guest is Denny Behrens. Again, biggameforever.org is the website. Go on their Facebook page and stay in touch with them that way as well. Give them a like there, Big Game Forever Colorado. They're on Facebook. Now, we also mentioned something new that you're involved in, and that is the Colorado Sportsman for Trump. So tell us a little bit about that.
You bet. About 2 months ago, I received a phone call from the Trump campaign asking me to be the Colorado chair for Sportsman for Trump. And I felt honored to do that. And so we have engaged in a campaign trying to educate Colorado sportsmen about the issues, and it's been, you know, very invigorating for us to see the response from sportsmen, because there's issues that affect us on the national level. Access is a huge one of our public lands, trying to stop the shutdown of public lands and public access. Two of them that we've already mentioned is sage-grouse and the wolf issue. There are a number of water rights. People don't understand the fact of how the federal government's looking at taking water rights. And so those are issues that we're bringing up to the public. We just had Donald Trump Jr. in Grand Junction on the 22nd of September, and it was a fabulous rally. And they can go to Colorado Sportsman Make America Great Facebook page, and they can view that video from that event. And it is starting to go viral right now. We posted it just 2 days ago.
Wow.
And sportsmen can understand where the Trump people are coming from. Donald Jr. and Eric are avid sportsmen.
Yes.
And fishermen. And so, and, you know, Donald Jr. is a competitive shooter. And so, you know, these guys truly understand what's going on out there. They want to protect our Second Amendment rights. They want to protect our hunting and fishing heritage. They want to keep our public lands open so that we can all enjoy them. And I don't care if you're a bicycler or an ATV person or a jeeper or a hunter, fisherman, or somebody that just likes to hike. We need to make sure we keep our public lands open. And, you know, there's this push out there by the opposite side that says, oh, you know, they're going to sell off our public lands. And I don't see that from anybody on the Trump campaign.
Mm-hmm.
They want to keep those lands open. And, I mean, if we shut it down, what are we going to do? All play golf? I mean,
yeah.
Not that I don't like golf.
No, I know what you mean.
You know, I spent my whole life hunting and fishing.
Sure.
From the age of 10. And my dad took me fishing, and my brother got me into bow hunting at the age of 10. And, you know, I was shooting a bow, and then by the age of 12, I was deer hunting with a bow. And so, you know, I've enjoyed all that. And I want my grandkids to be able to have that same opportunity, and everybody's grandkids to have that same opportunity. And
sure.
So it's important that people get out and get involved in this particular election.
Absolutely.
There are over 800,000 sportswomen and sportsmen in the state of Colorado. And if we care about our hunting and fishing heritage, each and every one of us needs to get out and vote. And so we'll carry this state and be able to protect our hunting and fishing heritage.
Well, good. Well, Denny, hey, thanks for being with us today here on Sportsman of Colorado. Again, that is Colorado Sportsman Make America Great. And you can check that out. And also biggameforever.org is the website for that organization. And you can go on their Facebook page at Big Game Forever Colorado on Facebook. So, Denny, thanks so much. And we will stay in touch. And, boy, if there's some things that we can do here on our station to help with things, we'll sure try to do that as well.
And I just got to say this, Denny, I just got to thank you personally for being one of those guys that's in the trenches. You know, we all too often, especially the, you know, when we're doing our own thing, we forget how important it is what you're doing is. And so, yeah, it's a good reminder.
Well, guys, thank you so much. And there's a number of us out here that are in the trenches. And, you know, all I can say to the two of you, thanks for what you do. And I hope both of you get a chance to get out and enjoy this hunting season, and maybe you'll get a chance to throw a few flies on the river and catch one of them monster brown trout.
Exactly, bud. Well, thanks so much, man, and we'll be in touch.
Take care, and Lord bless you all.
All right, same to you, sir. That's Denny Behrens. He's the Regional Director of Colorado for Big Game Forever. Check it out on Facebook, Colorado Sportsman, Make America Great. We're late for a break, and we'll be right back.
In a flash, from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon, the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault, after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of Flesh Law.
FleshLaw will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries.
Call 303-806-8886 for the Flesh Law Firm. 303-806-8886. Online, go to fleshlawfirm.com.
FleshLaw, the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Dana Lash, late nights at 10 on KLZ 560 and 100.7 FM. KLZ, the source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. Again, I want to thank Denny Behrens for being with us. BigGameForever.org. Check out that website and go on Facebook. Colorado Sportsman, make America great. And also the Big Game Forever Colorado Facebook page. Give them a like there as well. Well, as I mentioned earlier, great to have Trevin Stolfus in studio with us. Trevin is the host of Outback Outdoors. And, of course, Kevin Flesh, our partner here with us on Sportsman of Colorado, is joining us as well. Kevin, you doing all right?
I'm doing great.
Great to see you today. So, Trevin, man.
Man is
Kentucky.
Right. Who would have thunk it? See, I've kind of come back. I got this lingo now.
You sound like you're from the South.
You know, if you would have told me a couple of years ago that I'd be hunting big screaming bulls in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'd have told you, you've been having some moonshine, brother.
And you were probably having some while you were down.
No, actually, no, I wasn't. But I know what I can handle, and I can't handle that. Wow. Talk about an adventure. I've hunted elk in a lot of the western states. I would not say I'm the best elk caller, but I can call elk pretty decent. And I feel like I'm a decent elk hunter. When I got this tag, I actually, kind of the story behind it is I met a gentleman that works for Revelation Energy. Todd Tackett is his name. Great guy. And I met him at a Cabela's grand opening in Lexington, Kentucky. And in Kentucky, at the opener, you talk about a lot of deer and turkeys and stuff like that. Well, all of a sudden, this guy comes up and starts talking about elk. Well, bells start going off in my head because I love talking about elk. And so we sat and talked a little bit. Turns out he works with Revelation Energy, and they get some landowner tags because they have quite a bit of reclaimed, restored land.
Okay.
I was blown away. What a cool thing to have. You know, oil and gas always gets a black eye. Coal, they always get the negative press. And sitting here talking to this guy, telling me these stories about these big bulls that are living in reclaimed, restored mass acreage of land, and how awesome the population is doing, it piqued my interest right away. Because, you know, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation in 1997, the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Services got together with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and they started releasing elk. And they've done wonderful. And one of the reasons they've done so wonderful is the habitat that they have to live in, which is this reclaimed and restored ground. Great prime forage, great bedding cover, moderate climate, all these things added up to elk doing phenomenal. You wouldn't think that there's rough country.
There is some rough
country in that. And so with all this backstory, I got my brain started working, and turns out his son is 12, going to get his first elk hunt. So I got an opportunity to hunt with his son.
Oh, that's cool.
And 12-year-old boy, and went out there. And I, of course, love bow hunting. I love all hunting, but bow hunting is my passion. I got an opportunity to go and help call for them, call for me, and try and take a great Kentucky bull elk. Well, boy, was I in for a treat. Number one, it was hot. We got there, it's 80, 85 degrees. Ah, but there's a twist, 65% humidity. So it is hot.
Hot.
I mean, you can't get away from it. And, of course, we camped out. So you try taking a nap at 1 in the afternoon when it's 85 degrees with 60% humidity, and you might as well be in a sauna. But what struck me right away was my inability to move around. The elk were, I got them bugling a little bit. Here in Colorado, we have oak brush. You guys all know what oak brush is.
Right.
It's thick and nasty, and it's nothing. I missed, when I was over there, I was missing oak brush because they have autumn olives, but around the autumn olives, they have briar patches. And it's, you've picked raspberries, you know the briars that the raspberries grow on.
Yep.
Well, this is a different type of briar, but it's got the same type of thorns. And so you turn around and you have a bull bugle and you go, let's go, get the wind right, and you can't do it. Oh, you can. Oh, and I tried. But it just rips you up. And the first night I had this bull bugling, and I looked at the granddad's name was Mike, and then Todd, of course, and then the son is Landon. And I look at the three of them, and I say, hey, let's go. And all of their eyes are about this big around. I mean, they're as big as saucers, and they look at me like, what? And off I headed toward that bugle. Well, I called that bull in to within 15 yards, and we never laid eyes on him. That's how thick it was.
Wow.
He's screaming. I got him so worked up. I handed Mike, who's the grandfather, I handed him a Montana decoy, and I said, you come back with me. Now, I want you to flash this when I call, when he comes around, and you know, we can see him. Show him that decoy. Give him something to look at. And I was trying to get him to step out of this thicket so Landon would have a 15-yard shot with a crossbow.
Wow.
We never saw him. It was so thick, he couldn't get to us. We couldn't get to him. How do you kill elk with a bow that way? It's so the funny thing about it is at the end it gets dark. I say, let's back out of here. We don't want to blow that bull out of here. He was, you know, it sounded from what I could tell like at least a mature bull. Mm-hmm. We start to back out. Well, now we're in the middle. It's dark, number one. We're in the middle of a thicket. You know how seeing where you're at, you know. And Mike's going, I thought that bull was going to come and try and breed me because he's holding the decoy, right? So that was my first introduction that night. It took us an hour and a half to get out of that area because we didn't have the adrenaline of getting into it and stuff like that, and we finally found our way out. Luckily, phones. Phones have you know, you can use your GPS on your phone without having signal.
Sure.
And we were able to find some roads, and we got out, walked around, got the side-by-sides. And so what I learned right away is it doesn't matter if the bulls are bugling. If you can't put yourself in a position to get to them or them to get to you, mm-hmm. forget about it.
Yeah.
So we ended up hunting. We hunted for 10 days. And multiple opportunities. Multiple encounters where we had bulls screaming in under 20 yards, and we never laid eyes on them. Now, we saw them earlier, like we'd see them right at first light in an opening with their cows, and we could tell it was a really good bull, and then we'd move in and try and call them in, and we'd get in this thick stuff. We just couldn't help. It was a heck of a learning curve. Wow. Heck of a learning curve. So that was kind of, for me, coming from out west, I will never cuss oak brush again. I won't. And I won't cuss 70 degrees with no humidity.
Right.
Or 80, even 80 degrees with no humidity. That's pleasant compared to 85 with high humidity.
Right, right.
So that was kind of unique.
So when you got, was it the last day that you got on them?
No, what happened is we went through bow season, and then rifle season opened.
Okay.
And the last 4 days, Landon had gone back to school. He was going to school. And so me and my cameraman, Craig Button, were hunting by ourselves. And we'd found a big bull. And we'd been on him 4 days in a row.
Man.
And I called him in four different times, couldn't get an arrow to him. And but I knew where that bull lived. So when it was time for rifle, we actually hunted a different area the first day of rifle. Didn't see anything, hardly. And so that last day, my last day, I could be there. They decided, hey, let's go back in where we know we've been in elk. And we dropped into this basin, and it was like a dream. It was like what you dream about. 3-4 bulls in this basin bugling. It's the other thing I didn't mention is the fog. It was so foggy in the mornings. There were some mornings it was 10 o'clock till you could see 100 yards.
With all that humidity, it just in those
and it would settle basins, in those bottoms right. where those they call them hollers. Mm-hmm. I'm learning the terminology. Oh, yeah. See, that was my problem. I didn't have enough twang on my cow calls and my bugles that these elk weren't quite sure about me.
Right.
But they'd go into these hollers and they'd do their. I mean, they're just like acting like elk. But this dadgum fog would just hang there till 10 o'clock. Well, then they're headed into bed.
Mm.
And they're in such nasty, thick stuff, and I don't like to hunt elk in their bedding area. So, so that is how we started that last morning.
And I tell you, like I say, just to think of Kentucky and elk, I would have never put that together either.
No, yeah. No. And the characters we met, oh, I mean, you hear about Eastern Kentucky. You know, na 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 na, the old banjo, right?
Yeah, some of the folks that live in that area, that hill country down there, that just alone, not only having the animals, but the people.
Oh, it was such a awesome. I didn't run as much camera on those people as I could have, out of respect. But yeah. Oh, I could have run every time. And the funny thing is, people would just come into camp. We didn't know them from Adam, and they just come in, introduce themselves, and sit down and start talking.
Yeah.
And we were good friends by the time an hour went by.
You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley, along with Kevin Flesh. Trevin Stolfus is our guest today, Outback Outdoors. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that Outback Outdoors and what you can expect on this season with Trevin, and a little bit more about some of his past hunts and then what's coming up for him. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesh for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorsports.com.
Hi, this is Scott Watley from my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Listen, I've trusted my pets to Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center for over 11 years, and you can too. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Our pets will have many different needs throughout their lives. And whether your furry friend needs a checkup, advanced medical care surgery, boarding, grooming, obedience training, food, care products, or hey, just toys, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has you covered. Open 7 days a week for your convenience, and they're located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. Learn more at LoneTreeVet.com or give them a call, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. Tell them Scott sent you.
Did you know that each and every day, 21 United States veterans commit suicide? Last year, active duty suicides surpassed the number of combat deaths. When soldiers come home, it is a huge adjustment, and they're often plagued with disabilities, such as immobility, PTSD, or a traumatic brain injury. You can help by donating to Freedom Service Dogs. This nonprofit rescues dogs from local shelters and trains them to become service dogs for these heroes. Help give back to those who have given so much. Donate now at freedomservicedogs.org.
This is Scott Whatley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store, family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 66. In Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Steve Dace, 7 to 10 weeknights on KLZ 560 AM and 100.7 FM.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, along with Trevin Stolfus, host of Outback Outdoors. And then, of course, our good buddy Kevin Flesh is with us as well. Trevin just finished up a good hunt in Kentucky, and so we're going to finish up a little bit about that. But before we go back to your story there, Outback Outdoors.
Yes, we're back on. We run on the fourth and first quarter, of course, of Sportsman's Channel. And we just went back on. We're going into our second show of the fourth quarter. It's tonight. It's 8 p.m. our time. Okay. On the Sportsman's Channel. And it's tonight we start the first part of a two-parter on Kansas whitetail.
Oh, cool.
So I'm hunting Kansas. A buddy of mine's family farm, the McKenzie family farm. And I'm hunting it with Sean Greathouse, one of the owners of Hamsky Archery Solutions. And so whitetail has become near and dear to my heart because it's something you can do year-long. The preparation, it doesn't just mean you go climb in a stand. You're doing food plots. You're running trail cams.
Yeah.
You're doing all of this stuff trying to provide the best management for the deer that you have. And I'll be honest, attract bigger ones.
Yeah.
So,
and to get to know them. I mean, that's part of the fun, too, during the summer.
Yeah.
As you get to know the animals.
Yeah, you do. And yeah, you do. And you get to understand the age structure. And it's like a chess match. It's a preparation that goes, you know, all year long. So that'll be on tonight. And then, of course, we've got an exciting season lined out with everything from spot and stock hog hunts in California. We just got a lot of good stuff. So tune in, set your DVRs, 8 p.m. on Friday night on they call it the Full Draw Friday
right.
On the Sportsman's Channel. Yeah.
And if you're wondering, because you're hearing this on Saturday, we are actually pre-taping this with Trevin just with our schedules.
You should have watched it last night.
So you know what though?
If you feel bad, you can miss it.
They'll re-air it.
Yeah.
Just DVR Outback Outdoors, and you'll get to re-air it.
Yeah. That's what I normally do anyway, is I just put it in because I'm not around when it comes on, and then
right.
DVR and watch it whenever. My wife says I'm looking at my inventory when I go down to the basement.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think people, you know, when you see shows, we think, boy, it just must be easy to do all this with camera work and all the different things. There's a lot goes into a 30-minute program that we really don't have any idea of.
No, you don't. And when somebody comes, even a lot of other shows don't, you know, there's a lot of great shows out there, but the style that we do, it's labor and camera and video extensive. The time lapses, the things, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to capture an adventure, if you will, in a cinematic way, but you're not tired like we are. You're not wet like we usually are. You're not exhausted from climbing the hills like we are. But yet you get a grasp of that adrenaline and that excitement of why we love what we love.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. Again, that's Outback Outdoors. Friday nights, is it 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock, 8
o'clock
our time.
That's what I thought, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, again, be sure and catch that. Best thing to do is DVR it, really, and you'll catch them all that way. And it's fun just to go back, even when they're out of their season, out of the fourth and first quarter. Great to watch, and great videoing done. And you know what I like about it too, I mean, you guys show the misses.
Yep.
See, Kevin, if we did a show, we wouldn't have any of those.
That, right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, right.
You know, you show the misses, though, but you tell the story, and right. You know, and it kind of makes you be there, and that's
right.
Cool.
Right. Yeah. And you know, part of the highs, you know, it's not all fun and games. There's some major disappointment that mm-hmm. comes with it, and that's what makes when it all works and it comes together so special.
Right. Right. Absolutely. All right, back to Kentucky now. So you finished the archery season. You got into the couple of days of rifle.
And we get this. I've got this big bull. Or I don't got him. See, my lingo has changed since I've gone to Kentucky. I know where he's living. We go back in there that morning, and there's a little bit of fog. But it's just enough. We're still able to see across. We can see there's two or three bulls, and we're looking around. And I, if you've ever elk hunted with two people, imagine, and you know how hard it is to get on bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine five. Wow. Okay, so I've got Grandpa, Mike. I've got the dad, Todd. And I've got Landon. And then I've got myself. And I've got my cameraman. So there's five of us, and we're trying to do this and capture it all on video. At this time, I've got a camera in my hand. I've become guide slash cameraman because I'm trying to get two angles.
Right.
Now that I didn't even bring a rifle to Kentucky. I didn't have orange clothing. I mean, they had to give me all this orange clothing so I could be legal because I wasn't planning on hunting rifle.
Mm-hmm.
I was planning on getting it done in the archery season and coming home. Well, this bull starts bugling, and they're kind of waffling. He's probably a 280, 290, 6-point, which is still a great bull.
Sure.
But this is Kentucky, and we've seen some big ones, and I know there's a big one in here. And I'm almost frustrated. I go, if you're not going to shoot him, I'll shoot him. And he's a beautiful bull. Let's get something down on film so I can make a show out of this, you know? It's hard to do a show where you don't kill anything because really all it does is show you're a bad hunter.
Yeah, really.
So we're shuffling around, and we're going to get Landon, and maybe they're going to take this bull. They're not sure. And then this other bugle hop. Sounds off.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of walk around this bush on this trail that we're on, and there he is. It's like the clouds part, and I could hear angels singing, you know.
How'd they go?
No, I'm not doing that again. So he's standing there broadside.
Right.
Well, Landon is 12. He's not a big kid. I mean, he's a normal size 12-year-old. Well, his dad had left the rifle that he was going to shoot out overnight, and the scope had fogged up. He could not see through that scope. Oh. His grandpa had a 7mm mag, a big gun. He's laying it, trying to get it set up, but shoots. He's 2 foot high over this thing, okay? And I'm like, no, we can't lose it. So what I do is they don't have shooting sticks or nothing. And again, I'm not much of a rifle
sure.
hunter. I didn't bring shooting sticks. So I wouldn't plan on a rifle hunt.
Right.
So I take my camera off, the one I'm running,
right.
off my tripod, and I said, get up here. He leans across my tripod, gets a steady rest, and wham, and then wham, hammers him, drops him.
Wow.
It's as perfect as you could get. And that big bull is down. Well, you know how excited you are right after. I'm, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I look over, and I see another bull. And I said, can I borrow that rifle? So within 2 minutes, within 100 yards, he killed a stud bull.
Yeah.
And I killed a nice bull. He's got a big club on one side and 5 points on the other. Great meat bull, but just a unique bull.
Sure.
And we got it all on film. And you always talk about, oh, it's the last morning. It's the last.
Right.
This was the last morning.
Right.
And it's cliche, but it was what a relief. Because when you hunt that hard for 10 days and then have it all come together, especially with a 12-year-old.
Right, sure.
I was almost in tears. It was amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, and he got to spend all of that time actually hunting and seeing how difficult and what it takes, and then to have this craziness with the rifle and everything else.
Yeah, it was. I think Landon is one of the most composed 12-year-olds I've ever been around.
Hmm.
He was excited, but he never got worked up to where you had to tell him to calm down.
Right, right.
He was just even keel. Just even keel.
Wow.
It was a pleasure to hunt with him.
That's cool. Yeah, you know, you talk about shooting sticks. I had never used a shooting stick in my life till I went to Africa.
Right.
Because, I mean, growing up, you know, you always just, my dad taught me how to lean up against a tree and
right.
use that or get
right.
in a position.
Fence post
yeah,
or
whatever. And so, but yeah, I'd never used shooting sticks in my life. And once you use them, you do enjoy them. And I mean, it does help you make a better shot there.
Yeah.
You don't need them in the truck.
Yeah, so yeah, Red doesn't. Yeah, Red just hits the electric window and raises his window up and wherever the level he needs to shoot out from. Yeah.
Oh, Red.
Oh. So now, so you got the two elk there. So what's coming up now?
Well, with that being behind us, we got a mule deer hunt coming up again. Primarily, we're bow hunters, so we got a bow hunt in Nebraska for mule deer, and then after that starts our big whitetail run, which is always exciting. A lot of time sitting in a tree. So really what happens is we have to switch in our brains and go from Western hunting to Midwest,
right,
if you want to call it that,
right,
whitetail hunting, where we've done the work. The work's been done. Now we get up in the tree. Now we see if we hung our tree stands, put up our ground blinds in the right spots, if we've patterned our deer correctly, if we got the right wind. All of the strategy comes in, but it's all about your butt in that tree stand and putting hours in, because that's the difference. Whitetail hunting's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
People say, oh, it's easy, you just sit in a tree stand. It's not easy. It's a mental game. And so I have to literally switch, because Western hunting, if there's not elk there, I'll go to the next ridge and find elk.
Right.
Right. You can't do that whitetail hunting.
Sure.
They're there. They're usually within 200 yards of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to wait. They have to come by within bow range.
Right. Trevin Stolfus, Outback Outdoors. Be sure and catch them Friday nights. What do they call it? Full draw?
Full draw Friday.
Full draw Friday. So be sure and catch that. Best way to DVR it. That way you make sure you won't miss one. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We've got to take another short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you are lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and today only receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
Dana Lash, late nights at 10. On KLZ 560 and 100.7 FM, KLZ, The Source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. Again, thank you so much for joining us. If you're just turning on your radio, my name is Scott Watley, along with Kevin Flesh. Our guest today, Trevin Stolfus from Outback Outdoors. Be sure and catch that on Friday nights, 8 p.m. here in Colorado. Best thing to do, set your DVR so you never miss that full draw Fridays. And you'll see some great hunts on there and just really great filming, great stories. So look forward to all of that. So, Trevin, you were mentioning in your other segments there you had a 12-year-old and, boy, got a nice bull there in Kentucky. And so kind of wanted to talk about hunting with our kids and the importance of carrying on that heritage. And then also from Kevin's side, because Kevin has daughters that he takes out hunting, and then, you know, you've got kids as well. Give some tips maybe for those of us that may be, or those that may be going out the first time for first rifle season with a young person and how to do that. But
yeah,
let's just talk about the importance of carrying on that heritage at first.
This is something that's near and dear to my heart. I think I think we are going to shoot ourselves in the foot if we don't do this. If we don't intentionally do this and pass on our hunting heritage, these traditions, to the next generation. And it doesn't mean you're passing on the desire to kill.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Let's clarify that. What we're doing is we're passing on the love for the outdoors. And that begins with a pleasant experience, with a fun experience. If you put them in a situation where they're cold, they're tired, and they hate it, you're not doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I take, first time I took my daughter, I think she was 7, the first time she sat in a turkey blind with me. I had a sleeping bag. I had a battery-operated DVD player with headphones. I had books, coloring books. I had all of this.
And then
what'd
you bring for her?
Okay. Oh, I left myself open for that one. No, I wanted her to not be cold. I wanted her to get in a situation where she wasn't bored. And so what happened is she never ever used the DVD player.
Hmm.
She ended up, of course, you know how a morning in Nebraska during turkey season starts. I've got it set up where the blind's near the roost or something like that, and all of a sudden you hear the, you know, the gobble, and then it starts to get light, and then they pitch out. And then, yeah. I mean, it was jam-packed action for the next 3 hours. She never looked at her DVD player. But I didn't want her sitting in there shivering, so she had a sleeping bag where she stayed warm. And she also was able to stand kind of behind me and see all the action unfold.
Right.
And then when she was done, we were done.
Right.
I didn't hunt my normal length.
Sure.
We got out and we went back. And then we went to where we were staying, the lodge, and we played. And then we went, they had a little fishing, a little
pond
that, you know, you could catch bluegills, yep, with just a bare hook, really.
Right.
And she caught fish. And that, I think, is where it begins.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer because that's me. My dad didn't hunt, and my grandpa and my uncles did, and they took me. And, of course, my dad fostered that as he saw my love for it flourish. He did support that, but he's not a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my uncles. So I even encourage people, hey, you got a kid, loves to hunt, and they got a friend? Take that friend. Because once you get them hooked, it doesn't matter if they're your cousin, your nephew, your friend's friend, whatever, you get them hooked. That's another advocate for our hunting heritage that we can pass on.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, because I hate it when I'm cold, wet,
yeah.
Anything.
Right.
So, you know, you as the dad, don't go out there in all your Sitka gear and all your warm stuff and then put the kid in their tennis shoes and blue jeans.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right,
make sure you've got stuff, some snacks, different,
right,
things. Because, again, I think, you know, Red couldn't be with us today. But, you know, I know Red, his father was a big fisherman and, you know, metal boat. And Red, as a little kid, would make some noise. The dad would take him to the bank, get out, if you're going to be that noisy.
Well, yeah.
And Red's 65 years old now and doesn't like fishing,
right,
really, because of
that's
that.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Right, right.
So you got to take care. And, Kevin, you've been doing this for quite a while with three girls.
Right. So I think you're exactly right. And I think what's interesting, too, about those experiences is they bring up things that so many times as seasoned hunters, we're really there. I mean, we're enjoying the experience, but we also know the end game of what we're looking for. And we get so wrapped up in that that we forget the whole process. And kids so oftentimes will bring up something or show you something, or you're looking at a microcosm of something that's going on near you that you wouldn't have had the experience of either. That is so cool. And and kids just love to have fun. I mean, I was talking with Scott off air. My daughters went dove hunting this fall, and it was right after a cold front came through, and so the doves had moved on. And so we sat around for a couple hours and tried some different spots and walked to different places and things like that, and just enjoyed an hour or two in the morning. And then there weren't doves, so then we went and shot some trap, and we did some other things that they really had a great time with. I had brought a couple of rifles along, so we shot some rifles relating to that, and that it turned into a great morning. We didn't shoot a dove.
Right.
We didn't shoot at a dove.
Mm-hmm. And being outside and being outdoors doesn't mean you're hunting or fishing specifically.
Right.
It could be taking a walk.
Right.
It could be, gathering, as you said, you know, those little unique trinkets that kids find and go, oh, look at this rock or whatever. But that's all part of it. And that's where we build upon. And I think that as you go through life, hunters go through phases, and it starts at a young age, and it ends And where it ends as an older sportsman of many, many years is not far from where it began.
Right.
That this kid, the kid, it's not about the killing, it's about being outdoors. Well, you find a sportsman who's been hunting for 70 years, it ain't about the killing, it's about the experience. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of that, we try and find what where we're at. We got to not forget where we need to start. And so, yeah.
I mean, it's the same way with fishing, because you're talking about the bluegills and things like that. You get any avid fisherman, and you take them out to where they're going to catch some big bluegill, they'll do it all day long.
Yeah.
And it's just funny, because kids love that sort of thing, and that's how you get kids hooked on fishing, is the repetition.
Right.
And
right.
And it's the same thing in seeing animals. You know, the first thing is seeing animals, right. Getting the opportunity, and it's not the killing that right. The kids are concerned about, because quite frankly, some of that, just if they start doing it right away, it kind of scares them too.
Yeah.
That they're really concerned about that animal, especially in the environment that we're in, because what they learn in school about
right.
all these things.
The personification of animals in cartoons and stuff like that.
Right.
I can go on and on about that, but you know, it's still, the fact is, my daughter knows where my meat comes from.
Yeah.
And that's a special thing, and that's part of what we teach them throughout that journey. Don't start too early.
Right.
You don't want to force feed them.
Right.
But that's where it starts, getting them in the outdoors. And then as they grow, you ask my daughter about where our meat comes from. She doesn't say the store.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the respect that they have for it.
Yeah. And the hard work that went into getting it. Yes. They understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of you, we can kind of discuss this too. Let's talk about, you know, let's say again, we're getting out there, first rifle on the 15th. Season opens, and
you're really looking forward to it, aren't you?
Well, mine's second rifle, so I'm not looking to first rifle. I want time to hurry up and pass, though. But let's talk about, you know, having them the right equipment, whether it be archery, Trevin, or whether that be a rifle. I mean, probably don't want to give your 8-year-old your 300 Weatherby mag to shoot. You know what I mean?
Don't overgun them. You know, I say the same thing with a bow, though. Don't overbow them.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be right. It's got to be fun. The bottom line is, if they enjoy shooting it off range, you know, on the range, that's what you, then you've done your job.
Right.
If they cringe every time they know they're going to have to pull that trigger, you know, the chances of them actually being successful, not that killing an animal's the epitome of success, but the opportunity to hit what you're aiming at,
mm-hmm.
and make an ethical, clean harvest, you can't overgun them.
Right.
Right.
So, and that's part of the fun, Kev. Like you said, it's, you know, that day you were out there,
right.
You guys just sat down and you just were shooting rifles,
right.
And shotguns,
just,
and just having a good time.
Right. I mean, taking the .22 out, and they had never shot anything with a scope, and they're like, wow, this is mm-hmm. really cool. And they had a great time doing it. And,
right.
And we're just plinking away with little, you know, long
right.
.22 longs. And they, you know, they were asking, well, what's the kick going to be like? And there was no kick.
Right.
So they were like, this is great.
Right.
You know, and they just like doing that sort of thing. The same thing can be said for shotguns, too, is make
right.
sure kids that the shotgun fits and that they understand how it works and,
right.
and everything, and that it's a pleasurable experience for them, because that definitely changes their perspective.
Well, we're in that fun time of year with waterfowl,
yes.
full swing, duck season now, big game season here in Colorado. So main thing is get out and enjoy it. And again, take just a couple of these tips that hopefully can help your kiddos' experience be a lot more enjoyable, where they'll want to continue to do that again. So Trevin, finishing up here, got a couple of minutes. What's coming up next? Some whitetail hunting, you said?
Got some whitetail hunting. I did draw a coos deer tag in New Mexico in January. And then we get into our show season. I'll be speaking at the ISC with
you. Yep, we're looking forward to that.
Here in Denver. And I've got the sports and boat show down in Colorado Springs in February, I believe.
Right.
I'll be speaking
February.
There. And that kind of starts my show season, if you will.
Right.
But I'm looking forward right now to just finish off the hunting season, my daughter's softball season's in full swing too. So I'm going to be playing time from the field to the field, just different fields.
Right. You know, that brings up a good point too. And we got a couple minutes here. How do you balance all the different things with family? You know, and I mean, most of us in this, just like me, I got other jobs I do besides just sportsman. You've got other job plus, you know, doing your show, and then you got a family. How do you balance all that?
Prayer.
lots of prayers.
I think my wife, in my family, my wife, I married way over my head, just like you guys did. Okay?
Right. Exactly.
Let's not lie here.
Very true.
All right. But my wife is the conduit that keeps everything going. Her understanding and support, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without it.
Sure.
And then the fact that my daughter really does, she understands. Mm-hmm. Dad doesn't disappear and she doesn't know where I go. They understand, and that's the support there. So, but I think it's all about communication. And when I'm home, I'm home.
Yeah,
right.
When I'm home, I try and be. I say that, my wife will probably roll her eyes. But when I'm home, I try and be home and be available. And, you know, I built a softball field in my backyard. They couldn't find a field to practice on in Windsor, so I just built one. And I brought in 100 tons of infield dirt. And we, you know, and so I just try and be present when I'm present.
Sure. Well, that's great.
I think that's a key.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Again, we want to thank Denny Behrens for being with us. Again, if you did not catch that, be sure and listen to our podcast. Denny is the regional director for Big Game Forever. You can check out their website, biggameforever.org. Check them out on Facebook at Big Game Forever Colorado on Facebook. Also, the Colorado Sportsman, Make America Great. And this is where the Colorado Sportsman for Trump is in. And again, great information there. Outback Outdoors, Friday nights, 8:00 here in Colorado. Set your DVRs for that and watch that. And again, thanks for being with us. So, Trevin, thanks, bud.
You got it. It's always fun.
All right, Kevin, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today for Sportsman of Colorado. Check out our new page as well, our new website, I should say, and that is sportsmanofcolorado.com. And now we have it where you can send us your pictures in for our bragging gallery. Now, they won't post immediately because I got to make sure what people send us that we want to post, so they don't automatically upload. So if you do send us something, don't worry about it. We will get it, okay it, and then we will put that up there. So be sure and do that and give us a like on Facebook as well. So thanks for joining us. Everyone, have a great, great weekend.
KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.